All right, thank you, Brother Tom. It's a real blessing and privilege to be back again. Seemed like we blinked our eyes twice and we finished up and then turned right around and come back. But it's been a good while now, and I praise God for the privilege to be back. And thank you, church, for praying for us, for your love, your support. And we've been through a lot of things in the last 2 or 3 months, a lot of burdens, a lot of different things going on, but God knows all about that. I'm looking forward to this meeting, and I'm praying that God will minister to every heart that's here and that He'll speak to us, because we need more than a country preacher. We need the Lord to speak to us. Amen. I want you to turn, if you will, please, tonight to 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. And we're going to look at a familiar verse, verse number 14. 2 Chronicles 7 and verse number 14. And I want to preach on a verse for the nations. A verse for the nations. Now, this verse of Scripture in 2 Chronicles 7 was given during the time when King Solomon had just finished building the temple. Matter of fact, they had a dedication service where they offered 80,000 bullocks. And then they offered up lambs and sheep and goats and all kind of other animals. And literally there was rivers of blood in honor of the blood of the Messiah that was to come and was to redeem. And whenever Solomon finished that temple and he bowed down before the Lord and prayed, the glory of the Lord came down. And it was so thick and so full that when the priests went to go into the house of God, the glory was so thick that it about electrocuted them, and they just had to bow down and worship. They couldn't even get in and worship because of God's divine presence. And here we have a nation that's in harmony, in joy, in the fullness and experience in the presence of a true and a living God. Man, wouldn't it be nice if America could get back to that place. But during this time, when the glory of the Lord was present and down in great power, the Lord shares something with Solomon. He says in verse number 13, "If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence upon my people," then the Lord says, here's the remedy. Here's what you need to do. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land." And so this verse is a verse to Solomon in regard to the nation. Now, there will be a judgment of the nations one day, and nations will be called sheep nations or goat nations, depending on what they did with the Lord Jesus and what they did with their relationship to the country and the people of Israel. Now, I believe that America is a sheep nation. She's always stood with Israel. We've had a lot of Christians in this country. I wouldn't say everybody in America is a Christian. That'd be a foolish thing to say. And everybody in Israel wasn't saved either. But the bulk of them were. There was a lot of them there. And we, in every piece of financial transaction, our money, it says in God we trust. We had forefathers, wrote a constitution that was in alignment with the Word of God. And really alignment with the Baptist Church Constitution and guidelines of the way we operate in the local church according to the Word of God. And as you look back over the history of our country, they try to remove it. These progressives and these liberals try to say that these folk weren't any Christians at all, but they have no idea. They've tried to blank out the history, but there's too much history that's there. And too many quotations that are written in stone. And they'd like to take a lot of those statues down and a lot of those things that are written in stone that have to do with Christianity. But you see, when a nation gets in trouble, the Lord said, here's the remedy. America is in trouble. And as God said, if I send pestilence, if I send rain, if I send judgment, if I send drought, if I send locusts upon the nation, then here's what a nation and a people need to do. And I say that America is under the judgment of God. From the fires in Washington State and Montana to the hurricanes in Texas that flooded them out to Florida. And then there's another one setting off the coast to North Korea. They're belching out all of their hatred to the Muslim world with their despite to destroy America. We're what you call sitting ducks, and we're enemies of all other nations. And a lot of that comes because that we have turned our back on God, and we've sinned against the Lord. And the Lord promised that He would send pestilence and judgment, and He would send floods and rains and locusts and all these things that are devouring, and this devouring our country. You know, what hasn't been said about these floods in Florida and Texas is these are great farmlands, and it's crop time now, and all of those crops are underwater and destroyed, and all that's going to surface in the days to come. The Lord don't need a nuclear bomb from North Korea to humble this nation. All He's got to do is blow the wind, turn the temperature up or turn it down, turn the rain on or turn the rain off, and global warming don't have a thing in the world to do with this. These bunch of quacks think a woman's hairspray is causing all these hurricanes, or some shade tree mechanic that let a little Freon out of his air conditioner has stirred the heavens up. They're absolute nuts. I mean, absolute nuts. Funny, Al Gore had his global warming conference in D.C. and it snowed it out. Amen. And that day it snowed in every state, including the mountains of Hawaii, which hadn't happened in a long time. And you know, this is not caused by man-made. This is God-made. And He's shaking our nation to wake us up. And yet they want to make it a big controversy. But the Lord said, for those of you that recognize that I'm still the Creator, I'm still God, I'm still running things, and when you see these different things come in that I'm sending in by my hand to get your attention, here's the verse that you need to really take to heart and to take heed to. Notice number one, He says, if. That is a word of condition. It's a word of responsibility. We don't like responsibility in this hour. Did you hear about the fella called 911? He said, I murdered my wife. Said, I killed her with a knife. I've cut her all to pieces. And it's because I took too much cough syrup before I went to bed. Now, is that dodging responsibility? Hillary Clinton just came out with her book. And she said, it wasn't me. It was Bernie. It was the liberals. It was the news media. It was Donald Trump. The whole book is saying, I am not responsible. What me? Amen. Well, how much responsibility dodging do we do? But we might try to, but the Lord said, now, it's in your ballpark. If, a word of responsibility. And if means that if you do this, I'll do that. If you don't do this, then I won't do that. And if is a little hinge that big doors open and close on. It is a pivoting point that a big wheel can turn on. And this word if is a word of responsibility. And we are responsible regardless of what we think. Number two, if my people, here's the congregation. Now the Lord, when trouble comes on a nation, doesn't go to addressing the sinners or the government. But He addresses God's people. Some of you that have traveled the country, and I wish you could travel with me just a little while, and if you'll take the backwoods roads and go the two-lane roads, I've never seen so many churches in all my born days. From one end of this land to the other, there are towering steeples all over this country. And if the people in the churches and the communities in the churches would get right with God, we would not have the mess that we've got going on today. You know, if my people, and it's we the people, and we the people made up much of the people of God, and what happens here at the house of God affects this whole community, whether it's backsliding or revival, whether it's good or whether it's ill, the Lord says, I want to bring it all back to my people. Because you see, Peter, I give to you the keys, and I give the keys to the church. And if you got the keys, then go to unlocking the locks and the doors. You don't have to walk when you got the keys. Praise God, stick it in the ignition, crank it up, and get on down the way. And we don't have to act like that we've been abandoned by the Lord and that we're just sitting as a bunch of helpless pups on the side of the road that's been dumped out somewhere. We're God's people that have been given divine power. And the Lord said, the congregation of my people is who I'm talking to, the remnant. Number three, not only if my people, but which are called by my name, the calling. He reminds us as his children that we're not called by our name anymore. We're not sinners. We're children of God. Amen. We're called Christians, and they were first called Christians at Antioch. That means Christ-like. We bear the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been branded. We've been marked. We've taken his name unto ourselves, and we are the people of God. We're called Christians, and we need to remember our great and heavenly high calling that the preacher just mentioned in Isaiah 57. Then look fourthly. The first thing he says that his people need to do is contrition, humble themselves. Now, I didn't talk to Brother Tom. He didn't talk to me. God gave him that verse out of Isaiah, where the high and lofty God dwells with those of an humble and a contrite spirit. Amen. The word humble is from the word humus, and it means dirt. And you notice whenever people humble themselves in the Bible, they bow down to the earth. Job said, I am but dust and ashes. We find that when men met God, they fell on their faces before the Lord. John the Beloved, that had put his head on the bosom of Jesus, fell at the feet of Jesus on the Isle of Patmos, and he laid his right hand upon him. And humble people, that God will draw nigh to us if we'll humble ourselves. If we'll get arrogant and proud and baller fierce and curse God like they'll do in the tribulation. When the sun gets nigh and burns them, and when the judgment of God comes, instead of humbling and repenting, they get hard and they get cursing toward God, and then the wrath is just going to come stronger. Now notice he said, humble themselves. God has no problem humbling any person. It don't matter who they are or how high up the ladder they think they've climbed. And the Lord gives us the illustration of that in Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was the ruler of the then known world. He got to strutting himself and putting his fingers in his suspenders and saying, look at my kingdom that I built. Look at all that I have done. Look at what all I have accomplished. And God said, you know what you are? You're a nut. And he mixed a little gray matter up between Nebuchadnezzar's eyes. And Nebuchadnezzar jerked all his clothes off, ran out stark naked, got on all fours, started eating grass like a cow. God mercy let his hair grow thick to cover him up a little bit for some decency. And there he stayed as a stark raving loco maniac until, the Bible says, until he lifted up his eyes to heaven and acknowledge that the Most High God ruleth over the affairs of men and giveth the kingdom to whomsoever he wills. And at that moment his sanity returned. He went back to the throne. They gave him a shave and a haircut, put clothes back on him, dressed him up in dignity. And then he called all the nations together. Nebuchadnezzar gave his great oops speech. And he said, I want to acknowledge that the Most High God ruleth over the affairs of men, and he giveth the kingdom to whomsoever he wills, even unto the basest of men. And there he was acknowledging himself to be the basest of men, not the best of men. And he says, I extol and magnify him. I'm looking for old Neb in heaven. I really am. And God can humble you. You think, well, I'll do what I want to do. No, God can pull you down. And you don't want God to humble you. The blessing comes when we humble ourselves. Then I want you to look next. He says, and pray. There's the communion of this verse. Pray. Boy, people are full of mockery in this hour. Our president asked the nation last Sunday to pray. And he made it a national day of prayer. And then the social media mockers and the news media said, what good does that do? You need to be giving money. You need to be doing this. You need to be doing that. You need to be doing the other. When the Lord puts such emphasis on prayer, they're not mocking our president. They're mocking God. And when you mock God, you're going to get in some bad trouble. And you see, praying is for people who are a humble people. A proud people are not a praying people. A proud people say, why should I pray? I'm doing all right. Why should I pray? I'll figure it out. Why should I pray, man? I got a little money stacked back. Why should I pray? It's not affecting me. But a humble people say, I need God. And I want to bring my burden and my petition and my need before you, because I cannot get through this by myself. And I acknowledge that you've got the answers, that you're on the throne, that you are all that I need in this hour. And God says we're to pray. We're to pray quiet. We're to pray loud. We're to pray long. We're to pray short. We're to pray in public. We're to pray in private. We're to pray driving down the road, walking, laying in our bed. We're to pray in the church altar as a congregation, and we're to pray somewhere all by ourselves. We're to have set periods of prayer, and yet we're to pray continually throughout the day. And praying ought to be as natural for a child of God as breathing. You ever had anybody come up to you and say, what'd you say? Oh, I'm sorry, I was just praying. I was talking to the Lord. I have that happen a lot, because I'm bad just to be walking. Something come to my heart and I say, Lord, you know, I sure would. I ask you to help me in this situation, such and such and so and so. And somebody said, what'd you say? Oh, okay. I was like this fellow at Lyndon B. Johnson's prayer breakfast. He called on this guy to pray, and he's praying real quiet and soft. And the president said to him, said, I can't hear you. Speak up. He said, pardon me, Mr. President, but I wasn't talking to you. Amen. And I go to churches and places. I went to a prayer meeting up in Indiana one time. Preacher said, come on, hurry, we got to go. Well, the men are praying. Well, we went in this room, and there's 50 men there, and they're all on their knees down. So I just lit in to pray and praise God, our Heavenly Father, and all that, you know. And then I noticed I was the only one praying. Well, we got done. I finished that service that night. He said, man, you scared the daylights out of my men. Said, we're used to all praying around. Everybody just a little bit, you know, just a word or two. And said, you come in there and went to pray and you scared the daylights out of them. I said, well, we're used to just all praying together. And I heard somebody say, well, that's confusion. I said, why? He said, well, I can't hear what you're praying. I said, why are you listening? And another fellow said, well, how can God hear us all pray together at one time? I said, you don't realize there's millions of people praying around the world in different languages and countries, and God hears it all at one time. You think He's that simple of God? When they were gathered together, they lifted up their voices. And they called on the Lord, and they called in unison before the Lord. I don't want to get in an altar and you listening to me pray and me listening to you pray. Praise God, cut loose and talk to the Lord and get your mind on God and pray and seek His face. There's a thousand ways to pray. You can pray on your belly. You can pray standing up. You can pray walking. You can pray running. There's a thousand ways to do it. But He said, just pray, pray, pray. Bring that petition to me. And then next He says, seek my face. That's a craving. He said, I want you to have a desire to meet with me. If I seek your face, Brother Tom, if I want to get a hold of you, I'll call you. If that don't work, I'll call you and leave a message. If that don't work, I'll text you. If that don't work, I'll email you. If that don't work, I'll call somebody that knows you and say, hey, is he dead? Why is he not answering me? Where's he at? You want to really find somebody, you go to their house. Ding dong, they don't come to the door. Then you go to knocking on the door. Maybe the doorbell's not working. You go to the back door. You go to hammering on the door. If they're not there, you go down to the barn. Hey, anybody here? If you don't find them there, you say to the neighbor, hey, have you seen them? They moved out. What's going on here? You call the youngins. You call somebody else. And you just keep on until you finally find them. Seeking. I want to see your face.
I want to have a face-to-face audience with you. I don't want us to be distant. I want us to be near and see each other. Amen. We come to church a lot of times and we just plop down and we leave. Well, you know, nothing happened today. We come in hungry and thirsty and do like Jacob and say, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. Like Hannah, I'm not going to give up praying until, Lord, you answer my prayer. God, I've got to meet with you. I need something from you. And when God's people get hungry and thirsty, you know what's going to happen? The Lord said, I'll feed them, I'll water them, I'll meet with them. I'll give them exactly what they need. He said, get hungry after me. Man, we're hungry after everything in this world. If we could put a tenth the energy in the things of God as they do one professional football game on a Sunday, we could have a real revival around here. Amen. Seek my face. And then he said, I want to see some changes. I want to see some conversion turn from their wicked ways. A lot of folk will agree with you. Do you come up to this one? Turn from my wicked ways. You mean I can't hang on to my sins and have a revival? The Lord said, listen, the reason the nation's under judgment is because of your wicked ways. And notice he's appealing to his people. Do God's children get wicked ways? Oh, do we get wicked ways? You see, just because the Lord saved you don't mean he eradicated your flesh. And you're going to have a fight with this thinking flesh till the day you go home. And you got two dogs in you. One's a good dog, one's a bad dog, and they fight all the time. And the one that you feed and the one you pet is the one that wins. Amen. I asked John McCormick, an old man of God, one time, right before a week or so before he died. I said, does it get any easier the older you get, Brother John? He just horse laughed me. I said, boy, you're a blessing. He said, you're going to have to battle that flesh till the day you die. I said, that's really encouraging. Amen. And there's a lot of folk make big mistakes in their old age. You look at Moses, he's an older man. God said, you speak to the rock. He smote it and said, you bunch of rebels, you. And God said, you just cut yourself out of Canaan land for not sanctifying me among the people. He got in a mess. David wasn't a young teenager whenever he messed up with Bathsheba. He was an older guy. And throughout the Word of God, you got to be careful because you get to thinking you can handle this flesh. You don't trust your flesh. I don't trust my flesh. I don't trust your flesh. That's why we put up guards and safety nets and all of that. And then when we do sin against God, don't try to excuse it and flower it over. Get on your knees, and if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Can we honestly tonight sing the old song, nothing between my soul and my Savior, preventing the least of His favor? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And the Lord said, if you want revival, you've got to repent. You've got to turn. You got to move away from those things and ask me to forgive you and ask for my help and strength, and I will give you that. Well, when we obey the Lord in this first part of the verse, I like the second part. He says, then will I. Here's the conclusion. Then will I. And when God determines to do something, who's going to stay His hand? Did you hear about them idiots? Tried to get together and tell everybody to shoot the hurricane and stop it. Then police said, don't do that. That wind's traveling so fast, it'll go to slinging the bullets back at you. Wouldn't that be bad? Go to shooting at the hurricane, it go to slinging the bullets back faster than they were shooting them into it. Woo! That is nutsy. Amen. How are you going to stop that? You're going to stand at the waves and say, no waves! Just run right. Then will I. God said, I can do some things nobody can stop. I love to watch God, don't you? I love to watch God make a monkey out of this outfit. Oh, they get up and blow and snort, and then poof, it turns out to be totally opposite of what they say. And the Lord just sort of says, I love it. Then will I hear from heaven. I'm going to go to hearing your prayers and answering it. Oh, is it a blessing to be praying a prayer and get the answer almost before you even get it out of your mouth?
And then to pray and have special prayer requests for this one, that, and the other. And next week, oh, anybody got any special prayer requests? No, but I got a praise. Last week, you know, I asked you to pray about so-and-so and such. And here's what God did. Glory to His name. And we remember that. Amen. Then will I hear from heaven. I'll forgive your sins. And there's nothing like being clean before God. If you're here lost without God, to have all your sins washed away, forgiven, know you're eternally saved by the grace of God, there's nothing like it. And you can be forgiven. I'll forgive their sin, then I'll heal their land. Our land is belching sick. It's in convulsions. America is saying to the people dwelling therein, why are you doing all this to me? And she's gagging. She's sick. And God's able to send a healing to our land all across. That we've got mental illness across this country that is just totally inconceivable to a child of God that knows the Bible and the ways of God, and to see what's being taught in colleges and in the schools, and seeing what's being promoted in Hollywood and all the rest of it, you realize this land is just gagging. I mean, it said, I've had almost all I can take of you. God, help us. And the Lord said, I can heal that land. I can make a great turnabout, not only among my people, but all across the country. Amen. And so I say tonight, afresh and anew, let us look at, let us apply, let us obey, and let us receive the answer of this promise to the nations. Let's stand all over the house. Our Father, we love You. Thank You and praise You for the good Word of God. Tonight, Lord, we want to thank You for the privilege to preach. Lord, thank You for this nucleus of people that have gathered in the house of God. I know not what their needs are, but Lord, You know what all of our needs are. We ask You, dear God, to help us to cleave to the promise of God in 2 Chronicles 7:14, and to know that You said, if my people, and regardless of what others do in this nation, God, help us as Your people to have it applied to our hearts. Glorify Your Son in us, in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. And if you want to come pray tonight, I know we've already had an altar of prayer, but maybe you won't just come. Maybe we'll just get in this altar and pray for ourselves and pray for our nation tonight. We're a nation that's under trouble, underwater. We're in judgment. There's another hurricane brewing out there. There's other things that are happening in this country. We're in trouble, and we need help from God. And we'll get some help if we'll humble ourselves and pray. You want to come on, join us? Come on right now, will you? Let's come pray for our nation. Let's seek God's face. Come on, let's get in this altar and seek His face. If you're here tonight not saved, won't you come ask the Lord to save you? Come into your heart and redeem you by His precious blood. If you can't bow and you won't sit on this front bench and pray, that'll be fine too. Let's call on the Lord and let's commune with Him and seek His face tonight. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that You might meet with us, that You might manifest Yourself and Your power. Lord, I pray that You'll help us as a nation and as a people. Lord, may we just humble ourselves before You. May we be quickened, O God, tonight in repentance and, Lord, renewal and refreshing of mind, of heart, and of soul. Lord, I pray that You'll kick off and begin a revival in this congregation here at Wrigley. Lord, we pray You'd meet with us, God, and You'd stir our souls up. Help us, dear God, to be a witness and a testimony to those round about. And in these times of trouble, help us to be bright lights in dark times, shining out the light of the glorious gospel of the Son of God. Lord, there's a lot of heavy burdens on the heart of Your children. And as we see all these things come, help us not to fear, but help us to walk in Your peace, Your presence, and Your path. Lord, we pray You'll glorify Your Son. Bless this meeting. God, meet with us, Lord, in an abundant and a special way. Save souls and stir Your children, Father. Lord, we'll thank You for what You do. By Your grace we will. In Jesus' precious name, we plead the blood, Lord.